Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turteltaub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association. Joining us today are three well-known compliance entrepreneurs, Kirsten Liston from Rethink Compliance, Christy Granthart of Spark Compliance, and Joe Murphy of Compliance Strategist and one of the founders of Integrity Interactive. They're the authors of the book, The Compliance Entrepreneur's Handbook, and today they're going to be sharing their wisdom in terms of how you set up your own consulting or other compliance-related business. First, Kirsten, Christy, and Joe, thanks for taking the time to talk to us today.
Yeah, Adam, thanks so much for having us on.
Our pleasure. Our pleasure having you guys and hearing what you have to say. And I think all three of you are veterans of the podcast, so appreciate that. Joe, let me start with you. You advocate a four corners approach when deciding how to focus what your compliance specialization will be. What is a four corners approach?
Well, we explain that in some detail in the book. And I might add that the four corners approach applies whether you're starting your own business or you're looking just to have a career in compliance and ethics, and where do you focus? So basically say there are four different ways to look at this. One is by compliance function. So for example, do you go into training or how you operate helplines or how you do investigations? The second is by compliance risk area. So your focus might be privacy. Like me, you might look at Foreign Corrupt Practices Act or antitrust, environmental compliance. Third is by geographic area. You might start in just one geographic region. You might decide to go national. You might try to do it international, or you might identify a particular market like India where you think there are great prospects. And the fourth would be by industry. And so you might be in healthcare and focus on that. You might look at financial services, high tech, particular regulatory areas such as telecommunications or the energy sector.
That all makes a great deal of sense because you know, you do in any business need to identify what you're going to specialize in, and that's a great way to do it. Kirsten, let's go through them one by one. First, what should people think about when it comes to compliance function, such as training, helplines, investigations?
Yeah. So as all of us know so well from kind of living and breathing and working in this industry, the sentencing guidelines and other frameworks outline a whole host of things that you should be doing to have a really robust compliance program, from risk assessments to codes and policies to training and communication to having a helpline and that kind of thing. But one thing that, you know, Christy and Joe and I have all talked about is that it is sometimes more of a strength to specialize in something, just like Joe said, to be really great at one or a couple things rather than trying to do it all. Yesterday, I read a great post on Twitter where an entrepreneur said, "No advice is universally applicable, but narrow the focus, increase the quality is close." So the goal is essentially to pick something you know well, you know you can be really good at. And at Rethink, what we decided to focus on, you know, we started as a code of conduct company with plans to expand into content. Right now we do training and communication, codes and policies and advisory, and anything else, you know, helplines, investigations, that kind of thing, we refer or we pass on. And that's worked out great for us because we've been able to become known for kind of a piece of the puzzle rather than kind of trying to be all things to all people.
And certainly when you try and do that, it really dramatically ups both the risk to your own business of being able to deliver that, but can run the risk of raising expectations unduly high. Yeah. So while we're on the topic of risk, Joe, so one of the corners is compliance risk areas. So, and you touched on that a bit, but can you go a little bit deeper on it for us?
Sure. Well, it's easy to build off of what Kirsten just said, because let's say you decide you want to go into training. You could try to train on everything, or you might say, well, privacy is a difficult area that is growing, so I'm going to focus my attention on the privacy area. And I might start doing training, but I might look at other things just in the privacy area. You could look at an area like antitrust, which is fairly well established, but is still dynamic and generally a universal area. Your background might be more in environment, and environmental compliance is a major area. So you could take the analysis that Kirsten's talking about on a particular function you want to do and maybe decide, okay, I'm going to do that in privacy or antitrust. Or you might see something very new, like ESG, the environmental, social, and governance, and decide that that is a risk area that you're going to focus
on. Now, another way to divide things up is by geography and really figuring out where you're going to try and make your efforts the most successful. Christy, what's the best way to think through the process of how wide a geography is right for me?
I think that there are a number of things to consider. So geography can be what's close to you, which can be obvious, but it also can be what's not yet saturated or where there are new laws or opportunities. So I think one of the things to look at in geography is how much do I want to travel? So I started Spark Compliance in London and quickly expanded into the States, into Los Angeles, Atlanta, and now New York, because we realized that obviously the United States is such a big market and that's where I came from, but we still had, you know, the UK and Europe close by. But that requires a lot of travel if you don't have folks on the ground or if you're starting a business. I've had a lot of compliance officers write me and say, how do I become international? Things like, you know, learning a new language, trying to set yourself up as understanding the laws in other places can be really helpful. But you want to consider, you know, language, travel, and then where there's going to be a need. There's so much emerging market opportunity, whereas, you know, they may be fewer opportunities where you are right now. So I think it's really worth considering what your lifestyle looks like, but also what you're interested in and where there may be greater opportunity with fewer people already in that market.
And certainly when it comes to figuring out the geography, it does get to some of the basics of willingness to get up early and work late. That's one of the consequences of working internationally is the fact that it's not convenient. And so that not only do you have the time consideration involved in travel, but you may be finding yourself working irregular hours, and where you are in the country has a huge impact. It's obviously a lot easier to deal with Europe from the US East Coast than the West Coast, but Asia Pacific, you're much better off on the West Coast. Now, Kirsten, industry is another area to focus on. I think there's probably there too a tug of war of how narrow versus how broad. How should people think about what industries they want to focus their efforts on?
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Adam, that there is a tug of war in that you don't want to make your specialty so narrow that it's hard to get enough business, right, to keep your company afloat. But on the other hand, the value of being a specialist over a generalist is that at least the theory is you can bring proportionately more value to an engagement because, you know, in the case of industry, if you've worked with one pharma company, you bring some value. If a quarter of your clients all the time are pharma companies, there's a lot of kind of industry and, you know, company knowledge, you know, kind of subject matter knowledge that you can bring to an engagement that really helps that client by being able to say, this is what we've done with other companies. This is what we've seen worked. I do find that with a lot of these things, whether it is the compliance risk area, the geographic area, the industry, that when you're looking at going out on your own or thinking about where do I specialize, it can be kind of a natural sorting in that there will be things you've done a lot of and industries you've worked with a lot, or to Christy's point, regions where you've done a lot of business or have professional networks, and then ones where you've spent less. So for people who are trying to think, where do I start? It can be good to look back and think, what have I done? You know, who have I worked with? What kind of industries, manufacturing, oil and gas, automotive, educational, and then which of those am I interested in and which of those could support the kind of business I'm trying to build?
And paying attention to what you're interested in is something I don't think can be undervalued, because you want to be focusing your efforts on an industry that you actually find compelling.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it just gets to be a lot of work.
Right. Yeah, you want to wake up excited to do your job and to help clients, I think. Otherwise, you know, I mean, as Christy and Joe and I have all talked about, it's hard work to build a business. So you want to do it towards something you're actually interested in doing and excited about every day versus, you know, otherwise, why leave your job? Right. You could just stay where you are and maybe dislike what you're doing. So
one last question, and sort of a two-parter here, is for anyone out there about to start their own business, looking at what the options are, can you give us one quick do and one quick don't for them? Joe, let's start with you.
Sure. I would say be willing to learn from others, both their strengths and their mistakes. And part of the reason we wrote our book was to get that message across. And it's why we shared our mistakes. So you could look at things not to do, and also learn from our particular experience. So I would say be open, but on the don't give up on your dream. People may tell you, oh, that's not practical, you can't do it, but make a more informed personal assessment rather than just doing what other people tell you you can or can't do.
Great. Christy?
I would say in terms of do consciously bolster your network before you leave your in-house job. It will be easier to tell people that you're excited about this and get them to respond to your phone calls when you're still an in-house person, and that can really help you. Certainly our first year, it was all about my network before we started getting referrals from people we'd already worked for. And in terms of don't forget it's going to be a business. I think that people who are very skilled practitioners don't really consider enough cash flow and management and setting up the right advisors and all of that. So don't forget it's going to be a business. And if you haven't done business previously, don't forget to learn before you actually step out.
Great. Great. Kirsten?
Sure. So I would say as a do make sure the market actually wants what you're selling. I think there are too many people and even businesses who kind of go away and cook up these smart ideas in conference rooms and then commit to building it and go out and sell it. And they try to sell it without ever running it by an actual client. So make sure the market wants what you're selling. If it does, your path will be a lot easier than if it doesn't. And as a don't, kind of to the point that Christy made, don't get ahead of your money. Early on, I had an accountant tell me, look, a business can be profitable and it can still run out of money. It costs money to grow a business and it can take longer to get paid than you think. So become really good friends with your accountant, know your financial statements and keep an eye on the bottom line.
That's great advice, whether you're starting a consulting business or opening up a shop in your town. So thank all three of you for this great advice. I want to thank all of you for taking the time to listen. I'm Adam Turteltaub from SCCE and HCCA. I hope we're able to expand your compliance perspective.